Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite. I do not remember feeling more exhilarated in many years than I did driving to dinner after that incredible comeback. And we're lucky to be joined by somebody who gave me a chance to come back many years ago in 1980 in Kansas City, a guy who sits staring at the pinnacle of success, a man who's been there before and had come so close. We're so honored to have you. Bill Polian, general manager for the AFC champion Indianapolis Colts.
Well, thank you. That sounds great. Nice to be with you.
Bill, just tell me what this means to the organization. When you've been questioned, you've been so close, tell me, what does it mean to you personally?
Well, for me, you know, I've been there before, so it's wonderful, but I feel most happy for all the people in this organization who in 22 years here in Indianapolis never had this opportunity. And they came very close in 95, and last year we had our heart broken in a terrible circumstance, Tony's tragedy, and then you know, a 41-yard shank to send the game in overtime against Pittsburgh, you know, instead of perhaps putting it in overtime, I should say. But what we saw in that playoff game last year, we saw last night, which is a team that doesn't quit, that plays to the last whistle, that doesn't believe that adversity can knock them down. And so I'm happy for all the people in the organization who are going to, for the first time in their careers, get a chance to go to the big game, and most proud of our team for the fight that they showed.
Bill, I listened to some of the quotes on Inside the NFL on HBO, the team as they circled together before that Buffalo game, and I heard a tone of voice, I heard a resolve. The phrase I heard was, weather the storm. And I heard that phrase used yesterday, that Tony understands that for the team to take it to the next level, especially in this kind of pressure, being able to weather the storm of a Bill Belichick and what he's going to throw at them, or in Baltimore with the most intense defense, this team has weathered the storm of the tragedy last year, and they're just so much more mentally tough, aren't they?
Yeah, they are good. They are a very mentally tough group. This is not nearly as good a team as the one we had last year, because it's been decimated by injury. But what they are is awfully, awfully tough, and awfully mentally tough. And they're guys that never say die. I mean, they really believe very strongly in their coach and in themselves. And they should, because they've had any number of comeback wins over the time we've been here, so especially since Tony's been here. So they are a tough team, and there's not a lot that can get them down.
You know, Bill, people say that halftime speeches and the win one for the Gipper sort of speeches are outmoded, but when Tony identified that they were so close last year, they were down by a similar margin, and they lost just by so little, you know, he seemed to ignite a spark of belief. That now the belief and the confidence may have been there, but it seems like whatever Tony said at halftime was perfect.
Well, you know, he sensed that there was a spark there. And Adam's field goal before the end of the half really got us going, and that gave us life, and we knew we were going to get the ball coming out, and you know, they're a terrific bunch of guys who never say die, literally, and we know with Peyton, you know, and the weapons we got on offense, we always got a chance, and our defense really played terrifically last night, so. As it has all the way through the playoffs. So, you know, I don't think that when we got the score, when we got the field goal at the half, I think everybody really, really felt like, okay, we'll do fine. If we can go out here and knock one in to start the second half, we're back in this ball game. And that's the way it worked out. And, of course, that kept the crowd in it too, which was a huge factor.
And the other thing is, being a kicker myself, that Adam made kicks where the holds were not good, and yet he made them seem routine. Big change from last year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a clutch kicker. He's a guy that is a great teammate who really helps everybody. Hunter did a terrific job getting a couple of those down. The snaps were a little bit off target, and he got them down. and you know, Nicky comes through time and again. There's nothing that really phases him. And as I said, you know, our season ended last year with a missed 41 yarders. So that hasn't happened this year, and we've moved on.
Coach, before we let you go, just I got Indianapolis as my early favorite for many reasons, particularly you and Tony Dungy and the caliber of that team. It just takes nothing away from Lovie Smith and a wonderful team in Chicago. But a lot of that is predicated on the health of Nick Harper and Bob Sanders. How are they?
They're fine. Nick has a basketball sprain of his ankle, and I think he'll be able to go. We'll probably hold him out of practice this week. Bob's fine. He came through the game fine. And should be okay. We're gonna practice Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I don't know how many guys we'll have to practice because we're gonna rest a lot of guys. But that's kind of been the way it's gone the last 5 weeks. All indications are that everybody should be okay going into the Super Bowl.
It seemed like you guys had better conditioning. The New England players were cramping up. That people were saying that the game was like a sauna, so that may pay off down in Miami as well.
Well, we're in good shape. It's interesting, Nick. You and I go back a long way, and we've seen a lot of pro football over the years. Had we lost, we would have been too small. Now, since we won, we're in great shape.
Coach, you did something that's not small at all. Tremendous accomplishment so far. You got one more game to go. You got a leader who's as wise with the media as any I've ever seen in Peyton Manning as well. But God bless to you, and please give our best to Tony Dungy, and we're just so proud of you and excited for you.
I surely will, Nick. Thanks. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Polian, general manager of a team of destiny. When we come back, we'll be talking to a guy who knows a little bit about Indiana, and Len Dawson, a Purdue graduate, and more with Michael Strahan about the defensive side of Chicago versus some of these other matchups as well. What will Chicago do to stop a Peyton Manning, and more on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
Are you a sports trivia fanatic? Why not turn your sports addiction into a career? Former Sports Byline host David Brody, president of Broadcaster Marketing Services, is ready to help you launch an exciting career as a professional sportscaster. Let BMS teach you how to break into the business. BMS will produce your demo, create your resume, and guide you along as you enter the most thrilling profession known to man. Call BMS at 205-979-4577. Visit us on the web at sportsbroadcastingcoach.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
What would you do with the extra money if you didn't have a mortgage payment? Secure your retirement? Pay for college? Invest in real estate? Travel? Is your home paid for free and clear? Or do you have a 30, 40, or even 50-year mortgage? Or worse, are you making interest-only payments with no reduction on the debt? If so, you're on a treadmill going nowhere fast. At United First Financial, we have great news. Our average client will pay off their 30-year mortgage in as little as 8 to 11 years, potentially saving thousands in interest. You don't need to refinance your existing mortgage. You don't need to make more money, and there's no need to alter your current lifestyle. Our Money Merge account can help you own your home years sooner, wipe out your debts, and have real financial independence. Our program works with fixed rate, interest only, and even NEGAM loans. This is not a biweekly mortgage program or a debt roll down plan. Again, no refinance of your mortgage is needed. To receive our free DVD, please call 800-300-1096. That's 800-300-1096.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Have you heard about podcasting? It's the next big thing. With podcasts, your favorite radio shows like Sports Overnight America and the Video Game Review are delivered directly to your computer, automatically, so you can listen when and where you want, as many times as you want. And it's easy, too. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button next to the show you want. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
I just don't really play that card. I don't play that game. It's a satisfying feeling because I know how much I put into this season. I know how hard our team has worked. And we got one more game. We're playing the Bears in 2 weeks. What a great team they are. What a great win they had over the Saints. And this is what it's about, this kind of opportunity, and I'm excited about it.
That's Peyton Manning, courtesy of ESPN. Len Dawson,
what?
You've been there before. What are you feeling right now? You're headed to the Super Bowl. What's Peyton Manning feeling right now, my friend?
Well, he probably has not come down off of cloud nine after yesterday's performance when they were down by 18 points and they come back to win that football game. So he's probably still way up there. But knowing Peyton, and I've known him for a long time, since he was a sophomore in high school, he is a thinking person, and he is probably already preparing for the Chicago Bears. And I know that probably the coaching staff has already prepared for the Bears, because they were probably preparing for either the Bears or the Saints, regardless of who got in it. So I'm hoping that Peyton is sitting back and enjoying what he accomplished, he and his teammates accomplished yesterday, and there's time enough to get ready for the Chicago Bears. But as I said before, knowing him, he's probably already studying tape.
I had a friend that literally called me and told me he was turning off the game after Asante Samuel intercepted that ball and made it 21-3. Many people, I think, thought the game was over at that point. How big an accomplishment, Len Dawson, is it? The way that Peyton was able to gather himself, gather that team, keep their composure, go down for that field goal right before the half.
You might put me in that category too, Nick. When I was watching that and that interception, I said, oh, no, this is not going to be Peyton's day again, because he had thrown, I think, six interceptions in postseason play. The Chiefs picked off three of them against him, but he hadn't played all that well. But I think it tells you something about the character of Peyton Manning. And what a competitor he is, because he maintained his composure, and he came back fighting all the way, and he was out there thinking all the time. I go back to maybe Tony Dungy has something to do with that too, because he doesn't lose his cool. And when you see the head guy not losing his cool when things are going real, real bad for your football team, then maybe that had a calming effect on the Colts and particularly in the second half, the way they came back. But that was one heck of a performance.
And you had Tony Dungy at halftime saying, you know, we got that score, 21-6, we're two scores down. We were down by three scores last year. We have a chance to come back. And it seemed to tap into that spark that was already there. And speaking of sparks, we're joined again by a guy that has been all too recently involved in the intense heat of competition, Michael Strahan. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, man. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, Michael. I hope you are, too. You're healing.
I'm doing great.
I hope you're healing.
That's coming along. I feel pretty good, actually. I don't know if I'm ready to play yet, but hopefully by July I will be 100%.
There you go.
I have no doubt about it. Well, Michael, tell us your perspective on that. Let's start with that first half against Peyton Manning and the fact that Bill Belichick, as you talked about last week on the show, was writing a complete new script, a complete new playbook against the Colts, and it seemed to be causing great problems for the Colts. What was the turnaround as you watched that game unfold in the first half?
Well, I just heard a little bit of what Len said, and you know, as I watched the game, you were thinking this is another great performance, another great coaching job by Bill Belichick, and then they're doing everything that they need to do to keep Peyton Manning off balance, to disrupt that Colts offense. But when you look back at it, wow. I mean, the Colts never quit. They were very resilient. And they kept their focus. They kept on chugging along and chugging along, and that's the type of effort that you need. Very, very hard. I mean, being at home definitely helps me. At home, home crowd behind you, cheering you. But when you're losing the way they were losing, it's hard for the crowd even to get behind you. For those guys to hang in there against that Belichick defense and then do what they did and to come back was really a pleasure to watch. And unfortunately, a lot for the New England fans, but it really was a pleasure to watch. And it just shows that, you know, a Tony Dungy coach team, they're going to keep on fighting to the end. And I think that's what's going to make the Super Bowl so exciting. And I'm just happy for Tony Dungy that that team was able to withstand what they went through that first half and come out with the victory at the end.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Len Dawson, Lenny the Cool, and Michael Strahan about the wonderful challenge of the defense versus the offense. These matchups as we move forward, the Chicago, vaunted Chicago D, not exactly the monsters of the Midway, but what they do bring to the table in this Super Bowl and more on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298.
If you think that you have to fight the crowds and long lines this tax season, think again. The Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center will prepare you tax returns over the phone. We could tell you how easy and convenient it is, but our clients say it best. Just listen.
No appointments necessary. You get on the phone as simple as A, B, and C.
I saved a lot of money doing it over the phone and quickly.
I knew that they were going to take full advantage of all the tax laws to help me.
It was fast and convenient, and they were very professional.
Just pick up the phone and call them. You won't believe the results unless you call them. They're there for you. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. Call them now.
Call the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center today. We'll work hard to get you the biggest refund possible. Time to prepare tax returns and refund qualifications will vary. Services not available in New York or Oregon. Call now and you'll save 10% off our tax preparation fees. Call 800-923-3265. That's 800-923-3265. 800-923-3265. Call now.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Termbusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24/7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Well, we're not going to tell Len Dawson who those two or three jerks are this week. We're going to focus on some of the amazing heroes of this, the amazing heroes from yesterday. What, Len?
If I were playing against him, I would call him Michael the Menace because he would create a lot of problems for a quarterback.
But I don't know if I could catch you, though.
Not with a bad wheel now, maybe.
Hey, speaking of defensive end, here's Howie Long on that Indianapolis defense. And Bob Sanders, many people feel that is the biggest change. Here's Howie.
I think Bob Sanders coming back is important. I think there are a number of players in the NFL, a Ray Lewis, a Brian Dawkins, players like that, who will the people around them to elevate their level of play and their commitment. And I don't want to downplay his contributions or him coming back, but I think Seth will agree with me. I think the biggest problem the Indianapolis Colts had was, one, they were rushing the quarterback on every single play, and two, they didn't have the mindset of being interested in stopping the run.
That's Howie Long and Michael Strahan. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the defense that scares you, and that's why I'm really surprised they've actually beaten the two teams they have, or two or three teams they have beaten in these playoffs, that the defensive mindset of the Colts is up the field. It's a one-gap defense. Those guys line up. When that ball is snapped, they'll rush the passer every play. If you happen to run into a running back and he has the ball, that's what they call playing the run. So it's a little different, a little bit unconventional compared to most defenses around the league when you do focus on stopping the run a little bit more. And that can be a liability. And you brought up Bob Sanders in the sack. He got hurt a little bit yesterday. And when he got hurt, I said, if he's hurt, they will not win, because he is the catalyst. He drives that defense. He is a phenomenal player. He makes plays. He should have had that pick yesterday that really would have sealed that game for them, but he makes things happen. I think he makes everybody around him better, and that defense is set up more to rush the quarterback than it is to stop anybody when they're running the ball.
Len Dawson, not long into the game, the Patriots already had 84 yards rushing, and yet by the end of the game, I think it was only about 97 or something. What did you see about the changes in mentality and strategy on the part of the Colts defense?
Well, I tell you, I think Michael is right. When you get up the field on the defensive line, you can disrupt that running game. Even though that, you may be thinking, let's rush the passer, but if you get up the field, and particularly on the inside, those defensive tackles, you can disrupt things as far as the running game is concerned. But I would like to get Michael's on defense. It just seems to me that it's an attitude thing. That the defense has got this attitude. They say that, hey, we can't stop the run. Now, all of a sudden, they stop the run in three games in a row in the postseason play. And for Michael, is it that way? Is that the mindset of a defensive team? Is it, hey, my attitude is they are not going to get it done?
That's exactly right. It's all about attitude. It's an offense when you need that drive in the fourth quarter and you decide you're going to get it done. For us defensively, especially in these playoffs, I know for the Colts, they've taken a lot of ribbing about not being able to stop the run. So I'm sure those guys collectively probably got together and say, hey, this is what we have to do in order to be successful and win. We have to stop the run. And it's nothing but attitude. Whenever we're in a game or we're in practice and we're practicing goal line or short yardage, my message to the guys is, hey, this is all about attitude. And that's all that stopping the run is about your personal commitment to doing whatever it's going to take to make sure that team doesn't gain anything. Playing the pass is not as difficult as stopping a run, because it's a lot more physical, and you have to have the right mindset for that.
Well, let's get into specifics. New England went with jumbo personnel. They had two tight ends. They seemed to be extremely successful. What were the changes that you saw that really turned the game around?
Go
ahead, Michael. Sorry.
I think whenever New England knew what they were going to do. They knew the Colts were a liability against the run because they do have smallest type linemen. Those guys are not that big. They're low. They're shorter. They're about 6'2". I think Mathis may be 240. The smaller guys. So they know they can push the pocket. But I do think it's just the mindset. Now, Lynn mentioned when you get up the field, you can't disrupt the run, especially interior. Their ends are very good at getting up the field. Franey's one of the best at getting up the field. Mathis gets up the field. Now, if you can have all four guys get penetration like that, you definitely are going to mess up the run game. Some of the problems they've had is when you've had the ends get far up, they'll get up the field, and the tackles have not penetrated. That creates big gaps between the end and the defensive tackle, which teams have been able to gash them. But they've done very well now that everybody's getting penetration. And I think yesterday that really was what they did. They said, hey, we've given up enough. Get our attitude right. Everybody make that play. Don't depend on Freeney to make it. Don't depend on Mather. Don't depend on Bob Sanders. We all have to make that play like it's our own. And it made a difference in the second half for those guys.
Len Dawson, people used to say that. Go ahead.
That as a quarterback, if defense is coming up the middle, if they're getting penetration, it's going to impair your vision. And Michael is right. You know, if a guy's a fast rusher like Freedy into the outside, just push him to the outside. The quarterback steps up where he can see what's going on down the field. Now, if he can see what's going on down the field as far as the coverage is concerned, he should make better decisions on to who to throw the football to and when to throw it, so you have fewer interceptions. But I looked at that ball game, and it looked to me in the fourth quarter that Indianapolis wore down that defense.
Yeah.
Of New England Patriots, because they were moving them backwards in that fourth quarter. I don't know whether it's because some of the guys had the flu or what was going on, but definitely the offensive line of the Colts, in my opinion, was taking control.
Well, anytime
and
you
they
play
had four Colts. Consecutive long possessions, and that just by the time, Michael, that late in the game when you saw those guys cramping, did you think the game might be turning around at that point?
I think anytime you see guys cramping, you realize that it's kind of getting to them. And whenever you do have the flu, of course, you lose fluids and you dehydrate it. Those are not the type of things that you want to – that's not how you want to feel when you play against the Colts. The Colts are a team that's going to run you ragged. And also, whenever you play against the Colts, and you've seen this over and over in all the comebacks that they've had, whenever you're playing a team like that, you really, no matter how well you're doing that first half or that first quarter, that second quarter, that third quarter, it almost always feels like you're just holding on. You know, you don't really ever have them in control. You're just holding on, hoping that by the end of that game you can get your endurance and you can survive it. And yesterday, that's what it felt like to me as I watched that game and watched the Colts could gain a little bit more control until finally they went ahead. It was like the Patriots did a great job, and they held on as long as they could, but the Colts just kept that pressure on them, and they just couldn't stop them when it counted.
One specific series, Len Dawson, to me, was the final moment of truth for Indianapolis, because on four consecutive plays, it was a son in there. Manning tripped on the turf. Remember, his toe got caught on with a die. Wayne had a turf toe thing where he slipped as well. Then there was a third down play, and the ball slipped out of Manning's hands. I think he hit his thumb. Wayne dropped the ball. And then on fourth down, there were two penalties on the punt. There was a face mask. It looked like that Indianapolis was losing its composure, but somehow, some way, they regained it, and they did what was necessary.
They did. You know, who I thought lost their composure was the Patriots. Because take a look at the situation. This boggled my mind. When the Patriots got the ball back and they had a three-point lead, they got called for 12 men in the huddle. Now, that's unforgivable. I don't know whose responsibility it is, but they got all those coaches on the sidelines that you know, you can't afford that type of a penalty. And then later on, when Peyton Manning had the ball and he hit a receiver down the field, and he was defensive end or somebody was called for roughing the passer, hitting helmet to helmet or something like that, giving them another penalty. And generally, that's the things in the past that the Patriots do not do. Now, I just wonder, perhaps, first of all, somebody was at fault when there's 12 guys in the huddle. Because if you recall what happened, it's first and 15. They throw a pass good for about 6 yards or 7 yards, and then the next pass was completed for 4 yards. That would have been a first down. Instead, they didn't make it on third and had to punt the thing away to Peyton Manning and the Colts. So there were some mistakes made by the Patriots late in that ball game that I hadn't seen them do in the past.
Let me ask you something, Michael. On grass, we used to talk about Derek Thomas not being as effective, and when the Chiefs went to a grass field, he didn't seem to be quite as effective. When you look at Dwight Freeney and the havoc that he can reap with Rex Grossman in Miami, do you think that is muted somewhat when you switch to grass?
Well, you know, from being in the Super Bowl and realizing what they do to those fields are so tight, that's the closest grass field to a turf field you'll ever experience. Because it's new sod, they really cut it pretty tightly. It's not high grass, and it really is a very fast track. So Dwight Freeney, if you watched the game yesterday, what I noticed about him on the pass rushes, the Tom Brady was getting rid of the ball pretty quickly, first of all. Secondly, they were just cutting him almost every time. The tackle would go down towards his knees, wouldn't quite dive on the ground so Freeney could jump over him, but would just hit him in the knees enough to slow him down. Now, but now Rex Grossman, I don't know if he really is a get rid of the ball quick type of quarterback. Kind of feels like he sits there. I know Tate is not the type of offensive tackle that the Patriots have, where he's got cutting type of tackle. So I see Dwight Freeney having a great game for the simple fact that I don't think Tate can keep up with his speed, first of all. Secondly, Rex Grossman seems to be the kind of quarterback who's going to sit back there and going to allow him to come around that edge and strip that ball. And the grass, that's not going to be a factor because that the turf, the field, is so tight. That grass is so well done that it's just like playing on AstroTurf.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Michael Strahan and Len Dawson some more about the Chicago O and Rex Grossman, what they believe might be their Achilles heel, a guy that didn't make any mistakes. That's what his job is now, driving that car. We're going to talk about that and this new improved Indianapolis defense and more on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. We'll be right back.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you considering bankruptcy? With the new bankruptcy laws, you may not qualify. There is another option. Call Financial Freedom of America for free information and learn how you can have your credit card bills reduced by up to 60%. You never have to pay back a penny of the debt that is settled for you. Let Financial Freedom of America show you how their proven debt reduction system can save you thousands or tens of thousands. They are experts at negotiating debt settlements and can wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. You need to have $10,000 or more in credit card debt to qualify for this program. Don't suffer from the burden and hardship of your overwhelming debts any longer. They'll do all the work for you. Call Financial Freedom of America today at 800-768-9617. That's 800-768-9617. For your free consultation, call Financial Freedom of America now at 800-768-9617.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring. I have corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to HomeBiz, the number 47.com. That's HomeBiz47.com.
On Tee to Green, we don't just play
golf. It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win than it takes to get there and lose.
Golf vacations.
It's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in that final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
All right, guys, let's continue with this analysis with Len Dawson. Len Dawson, do you think it's as simple as the Colts, if they can stop Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson, that they put that game in the hands of a Rex Grossman and basically they've succeeded?
Well, you know exactly what the Bears want to do. They want to get that running game established. They want to pound at him and pound at him and pound at him. And if they can get that going, then they can pick and choose when Grossman will throw the pass, and probably some play-action passes will go along with the running attack. And so for Indianapolis, I would think their goal is they got to find a way to stop that running game. I mean, generally speaking, I think in most games, what you're looking at is stop the running attack and put them one-dimensional and throwing the football. I don't care, you know, what a team is capable of doing. If you can stop that running attack, you make them one-dimensional, and it makes your job a little bit easier. But that's the big question. Can the Bears run the ball and take the heat off Rex Grossman? And on the other side, can the Colts stop that running attack and force Grossman to beat them?
Michael, Cedric Benson was the early runner for the Bears in the game, was somewhat successful. Then suddenly in the second quarter, they switched back to Thomas Jones, who was enormously successful. Tell me what you see in this game.
Well, you know what? You go with what works, and that's been their formula throughout the playoff, and it's worked. Tom and Jones scored a couple of touchdowns the last few playoff games apiece, and you know, I think Cedric Benson comes in, adds a little different wrinkle. Seems like he's a bigger guy, but not as quick and more as much of a slasher as Thomas Jones, but just a heavier body kind of wears you down a little bit. And, you know, Lynn made a great point. In every game, you basically want to stop that run. That is your main focus. And I think for Indianapolis, stopping the run, you got to have to try to make Rex Grossman beat you. Now, the only thing is, they realize that. The Bears realize that. And if you watch the way that the receivers have played, Musa Muhammad and Ben Berrien, they've really helped Rex Grossman out. They've made some incredible plays on throws that, you know, probably would have been incomplete. So those guys know that you got to come in, you got to play better to really help this quarterback succeed, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to do that. And they've shown that. So for Indianapolis, they've surprised me with their running game with a die. And so, you know, Indianapolis' running game isn't dead either, even without Edgerrin James. So it's going to be very interesting to see which team has the running game, because Chicago's known for running, but I have a feeling that Indianapolis is going to do a pretty good job of that themselves with their offense.
And that Chicago defense on the other side of the ball, here's Seth Joyner talking about the importance of that front four.
If they can get pressure with the front four, I think, you know, they'll be fine in the secondary, because the secondary and our defensive line, you know, work hand in hand. You know, any defensive lineman will tell you that. You know, any defensive lineman worth his beans will tell you that. And any DB worth his beans will tell you that. That when the guys are getting pressure up front, it makes the secondary look good. And when the secondary is covering well in the back, it makes the guys up front look well. So,
Seth Joyner, Len Dawson. Now we switch to the other side, and you are Peyton Manning, and you're having to deal with a withering Chicago pass rush.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the first thing you got to do is protect the football, and that's what happened to the Saints. They did not protect the football, and they didn't protect their quarterback, Drew Brees, because I can recall early on when somebody forgot to block one of the defensive linemen, and he had a clean shot at the blind side of Drew Brees, nailed him, the ball went flying over there, and once again, the defensive people, instead of just falling on the ball and recovering it, they tried to pick it up and run with it, and the Saints maintained possession of it. But the thing is with the Indianapolis Colts that they can be two-dimensional because they can run with the football, and I would look for the Colts, you know, because they have so many weapons. You know, Grossman, you know, he had a couple of good throws in that ball game, but fortunately they didn't need him, and Berrien made a phenomenal catch for a touchdown, and you can't expect that to happen all that many times. But I think this is going to be, you know, it's a chess match like all these games when they got two good football teams, and it's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens.
Michael, let's switch to the historical importance of this game. We talked with Chris Berman about it. We talked with Howie Long about it. We talked with Seth Joyner about it, that you have both black head coaches in this game, that for the first time a milepost has been reached. How important is that for measuring the progress of African-American athletes, but also leaders in the superstructure of sports?
I think it's important. I think it's shown that African-Americans, of not just African-Americans, but any minority has the same ability and the same capability of coaching and being successful as anybody else. Now, does that mean there are going to be more minorities hired? Who knows? But I just think that it does show that, you know, no matter what your race is or anything like that, that you can be successful. It's about the man. It's about the leader. And, you know, if it were just one coach, that'd be great. If it, now that it's both, that's phenomenal. But I'm pretty sure that both of these coaches just want to be known as great coaches. They don't want to be known as the African-American coach because, you know, you don't define yourself in that way. I'm pretty sure they don't define themselves in that way as individuals. But I think for everybody else looking from the outside in, it is a great milestone. And I just hope that they can have continued success and that, you know, at least you know one of them is going to win a Super Bowl now, and that's a great thing too.
Len, you know, we talked a lot about Lamar Hunt's legacy, and I think with Hank Stram, Lamar Hunt's legacy can also be measured by the fact that they brought in so many of the outstanding black athletes into the AFL, which accelerated what was happening in the NFL. Tell us about this new historical development and what it means to you as you look back at the last 40 years.
Well, let's go back to what Michael's talking about, the two coaches in this. And it's great to see the two classy individuals, keep people with class, able to win some big ball games, and one of them's going to win the biggest game of all. But, you know, Hank Stram and Lamar Hunt, they were going after the best players. They didn't care what color they were. And the thing is that it turned out that they had some outstanding players, as you well know, with Kansas City there back in the 60s and early 70s. So it's coming to the front that you know, the coaches, what's a good coach? You know, it could be green, and if you're a bad coach, you're a bad coach. But these two guys maintain their composure. Boy, I like to see that with both Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy. And even Tony Dungy, what it looked like with a lot of us thought, hey, this game is over with, he maintained his composure, and I think that rubbed off onto his players as well, and that's why they were capable of coming back.
Michael, and also when you work through an adversity of the highest proportion like this game, doesn't that make an opportunity for your team to have a quantum leap in confidence going into the Super Bowl?
Well, it just lets your team know that no matter how the Super Bowl starts out, no matter how the game's going, you're never out of it. And, you know, that really was that show, how you're going to react throughout adversity. And those guys showed it no matter what. If this game jumps off, Chicago jumps up on them, like Chicago jumped up yesterday on the Saints, the Colts know, hey, we still got a shot to come back. So it's just going to be they're going to play for 60 minutes. Those guys are going to understand they have an opportunity to win that game no matter what the score and situation is at any point in that game. And I think it definitely does boost your confidence. Now, one thing that I experienced in the Super Bowl and got to be careful of, too, there's a two-week break, you know, and within this
doesn't help.
It doesn't help. A lot of times it doesn't help. If your team that's beat up and you made it to the Super Bowl and you're beat up, it may help get some of your key players back on the field. But a lot of times if you do have someone like a Rex Grossman or somebody who may not be that confident, and all for 2 weeks now he's going to hear about how they really don't think he's that good, sometimes it doesn't help your confidence going into the game. Sometimes players buy into the hype of what they're saying about one side or the other, and it does not help your confidence in that game. So I think whichever team can distance themselves from all the media fanfare, from getting caught up in the process of it, and who can just understand that keep your head clear of the papers, stay clear of all this extra stuff that's now going to be thrown your way, and focus on what's at hand, that's going to be the team that handles it the best and wins. And I think that's going to be a reflection, too, in a lot of ways of the coaching.
Len, which yes. coach do you think has the edge there in preparing his team to deal with the hype? That's the biggest challenge now.
Well, yeah, it is. It is. And I think most players would like to maintain the same routine that they have. They play on Sunday, practice the next week, and play on Sunday again instead of having that additional week, because the additional week is all the hype that goes along with the Super Bowl. And it's hard to avoid it. I mean, it's all around you. Your family is there. All that stuff is going on. And the guys that were able to focus on what they're really there for, you know, has got the best shot at winning. I think, you know, when these two teams look at the two games that were played yesterday, they're going to see the reason why they won. They're going to see that the reason they won was because people did their jobs when they had to do it, and the plays worked, because so many times most plays don't work because you give credit to the other team that, you know, either on offense or defense, that they're doing a good job. So the thing is, if you do your job, you can't worry about the guy next to you. He's got to do his, and if he doesn't, you know, that's the way it's going to go, and it's not going to be successful. But I think if you get all these guys on the same page and focusing on why they are there, because you always want to win the last game that you play, and hopefully that last game is a significant one, and that's what the Super Bowl is all about.
Final thoughts, guys. Here's Chris Berman from Thursday's show.
Tony Dungy is a great friend, and so, Nick, to be honest with you, until it was Martin Luther King Day and somebody pointed it out to me, I didn't really think of it. But then again, and I don't want to sound, oh, well, what are you, head in the, you know, I'm a child of the 60s and 70s, and I had to be reminded, I never looked at Warren Moon as a black quarterback.
Final thoughts, Michael Strahan. How excited are you for this Super Bowl?
I'm pretty excited. You know what? They have some great players. I look at guys who play well over their careers, like a Brian Urlacher, you know, a Gunlige. You got guys that I know, Tommy Harris, even though he won't play, but just opportunity to be and help that team to get to where they could be in that situation. But guys who are friends of mine, and Peyton Manning, and guys like that who now have an opportunity to play in this big game. And you have two teams
who are going for the first time. I mean, Indianapolis is going for the first time, and you have Chicago first time in 21 years. So you have a lot of fresh young players who are going to experience something that is an incredible thing. So I just hope that both teams enjoy it. I really could care less who wins, to be honest with you, because I'm not in it. But I'm just excited for those guys that I know to have this opportunity to go out there and play on the biggest stage, and one of them is going to walk away very happy.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. Len Dawson, you're the best. Michael Strahan, we'll see you next Monday. Let's get our picks in next Monday. But you guys were phenomenal today. We appreciate you joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Leonard. Well, we're going now many thousands of miles down under for our daily update with a guy who, thank God, has gotten up. Luke Jensen, you awake?
Anything for the power of Mr. 8, Mr.
Hey,
Clutch,
buddy.
Nick Lowry.
I know you were watching those games. Tell me, what was your take on them?
Well, I mean, I thought, obviously, that New Orleans, you got to take care of the football, especially on an away game, and the Bears just took advantage of opportunities. And if you can run the ball and establish the run and really play off of that and don't let Rex Grossman, you know, kind of destroy you, you got it. Look at it. It was fantastic. And then on the other side, just a classic for all time, Peyton Manning coming through when he absolutely needed to, some dodgy calls at the end. But you know what? You take advantage of opportunities.
Well, let's talk about what happened over the weekend. We talked a lot about Serena Williams. Let's first start with James Blake, who was, it looked like, was heading towards perhaps a pretty darn good open. But what happened with his conflict against Fernando Gonzalez?
Well, call Dr. Jacobs, because I think how many times now over the last few years, poor James Blake lets his emotions get the best of him. This guy has as much talent as anyone who's ever played the game. He's fast. He's got amazing weapon with the forehand side. He's gotten better and better each single year. He's gotten through tragedy with his off-court problems. He's actually ran into a net post a few years ago, nearly cracked his, broke his neck, was nearly paralyzed from the neck down, but he was able to come back and then got a virus. But then he gets these points in his matches where the other guy's winning the big points, and that happens. But you have to regroup. You have to adjust. You have to make changes in your tactics to overcome that situation. By the time the third set rolled around, he was hangdogging it. You've got to stay positive. You've got to get fired up. And he wasn't there.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Serena Williams and more, the Australian Open with IBM Advantage, Luke Jensen. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the 7 key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN. go win for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-761-3480. That's 800-761-3480.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-761-3480. Call now. 800-761-3480.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. I want to thank Len Doss and Michael Strand. Tomorrow we're going to have a wonderful show with Ron Jaworski breaking it down for us, and CBS Golf's Gary McCord, and of course, the legendary, the crazy, the inspiring Luke Jensen. Luke, what's on store for us this week?
Well, just fantastic tennis coming up. Today is going to be a huge match. Shahar Peer, who's one of the low seeds in the tournament, playing Serena Williams, who's not seeded but won the tournament here in 2005, dominated the game in 2003. Here's the situation. No one's playing better than Serena Williams right now, but Shahar Peer is in the Israeli army. This girl's tough as nails. She doesn't miss. She's fast, and she's focused. One of the best matches coming up today. You're going to see Roger Federer in action. Sharapova's playing much better. She won the other day. It's really shaping up to be an outstanding Australian.
Hey, I want to ask you about verbal abuse. Vince Padilla, in a first-round doubles match, was fined $4,000 for abusing officials. Marat Safin, $2,000 for a verbal obscenity. What's your take on this? Should more be done to make sure that the lack of respect for officials is reduced?
No doubt. You have to respect people, and whether, especially these umpires and these lines people who don't have any place to get back at them. It's basically a form for these players just to tee off on these lines people. And to me, if you do that, I think you should be ejected. Remember, these people are making millions of dollars. $4,000 doesn't do anything, but kicking them off the court does. If they can't play, they can't make money. So they're going to shut up next time they do that. You cannot go at these officials. You can disagree, and you can go up to them and let them know it, but you know what? You can't cross that line.
What about like in soccer with a yellow card and then finally the first time and the second time you're done?
Well, we have that. I mean, we have our...
But it's not used.
Point penalty, but it's not, you know... The thing is, as soon as you start using audible obscenities, it's on... You know, we have microphones all over these courts. I mean, it's picked up by everybody. You have kids in the stands. We have got to rein in these prima donnas. You don't see Roger Federer doing it. You don't see Rafael Nadal doing it. And so it's just a couple of guys. And, you know, John McEnroe was, you know, fantastic. But you know what? He did a lot of bad with a lot of good. So you got to rein him in every once in a while.
Well, my friend, appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll give you a chance to sleep in a little bit, but we'll get you at the end of the show. You're the best, buddy.
I got to go for my 5-mile run, man. I got to get tough.
We love you, man.
See you, buddy.
Luke Jensen, Advantage Luke Jensen. We'll see him tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow with CBS Golf's Gary McCord coming up to the KBR Open in Phoenix, the most popular golf open in the world, and Ron Jaworski breaking down the matchup on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122. I'm picking already the early line. I'm picking the Colts because I believe Tony Dungy, psychologically, he mentored Lovie Smith. He's going to have that edge for that reason and that increased experience. I've got the Colts by 7. We'll see you tomorrow on Head Games. Go to headgamesradio.com, headgamesradio.com for all the highlights, and I mean all the highlights. We'll see you tomorrow.